carpet.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what?
Well, that hit the spot.
Welcome back to the Gosscast with myself, Alexandra Ryan, and Goss.ie editor, Kendra Becker.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How was your weekend? You were at Olivia Dean?
I was.
Like the rest of the entire country?
Yeah, literally everyone was there. It was really good. Very, very good. Like, her voice is just amazing. Like, she sounds exactly like...
Does she?
Like, her on Spotify.
You know, it's so funny. Like, I'm genuinely obsessed with her and I play her music all the time and I just don't know why I didn't even attempt to get tickets.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I've just been so busy the last week. So many people were like, are you going to Olivia Dean? Like, obviously you're going to Olivia Dean. And I was like, no, I haven't even checked for
literally
a ticket.
Literally everyone
And then
dying.
I didn't even ask for a ticket close to the time because I was just like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But I could hear the whole concert, so it was fine.
It was very good, but my hot take of the week is that Marley Park is just... I think it's kind of the case with all, like, the outdoor venues and stuff. It's just a nightmare to get in and out of them.
Yeah.
And, like, I think... particularly where Marley Park is, they close so much of the road.
Yeah.
So you have to walk so long
miles
to even
to get
anywhere near a taxi or anything.
I remember when the Longitudes, we literally had to walk back to Dundrum Shopping Centre to get a taxi.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's bad.
But my other hot take as well is that they also definitely oversold it.
Because I
saw... By about 5,000 people,
so it's 40,000, right, that's allowed. But I saw she actually put up a post. Did you say...
Saying 45.
Saying 45.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do they give 5,000 extra each day?
They might have because of the demand.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But you could definitely, like, feel it on the day. Like, it was very...
packed.
Like, obviously, we were outside. Like, that was fine. But you had to weave through people. What? And we were, like, at the back.
What's the biggest outdoor venue in Ireland? Is the Crow Park.
Yeah.
So, basically, she should have just done Crow Park. Like, as in, I'd say they didn't realise so many people were going to buy tickets.
Because she did two nights at Marley Park, which is 40,000 each.
Yeah.
Crow Park is 80,000. Like, she could have just done one night
One
at Crow
night
Park.
There. Or she probably could have done two nights.
Yeah.
Loads of people were on to me being like, getting tickets, trying to find tickets and stuff.
And it was actually such a mix of people there. Like, there was young kids, but then there was, like, people my age, older people.
I know, she's
people.
Such a wholesome act that, like, you could have literally six-year-olds there.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's so crazy to see, like, her rise, because she was performing back in, like, 2020 to, like, 30 people.
Yeah, I know, I've seen those figures on TikTok
it's
of
crazy.
Her on a tiny little stage. It really
just
reminds me of Dua Lipa. Do you remember she did, like, a Dublin gig right before she, like, massively blew up? And it was in, like, the Olympia, and it wasn't even sold out. And a few people went to that.
It just shows you that, like, one song can just change everything.
I know.
Like, it's crazy. Like, Man I Need obviously changed everything for her.
I love, like, the rest of her music. It's so funny. Like, I like even the songs that, like, she hasn't commercially released. Like, her album is just
so
amazing.
Good. There's one song, actually, that she performed the other night. It's called Messy.
Yeah, I love
and
that
it's
song.
From, it's so
I love
good.
That
it's actually from one of her older albums,
yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
think.
That's
it's
on my playlist all the time, Messy.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
And then, like, she was on the Bridget Jones soundtrack as well. Like,
yeah.
There's random songs that
she
have been around.
That song.
Did she?
But she didn't do Rain Me In because, obviously, Rain Me In isn't her song.
I know.
It's Sam
She's
Fender's
like
song.
A co.
And I was so convinced that Sam Fender
was
going to come
go?
Out because it
oh
was actually the 1 year anniversary
of
the song.
Song.
So I was like, sure, she's going to bring him out. I was like looking it up.
Could she not got someone else to come up and sing him with her?
Like? There was rumors that she was going to bring out Dermot Kennedy, like... Which
that's
I was a bit
sad.
Like, ugh, like he pops up fucking everywhere. Just me like,
give it a rest.
He's always just waiting.
Oh, no.
But I was so convinced and I was looking up, like, he isn't on tour at the moment. So I was like, oh my God, surely he loves
so
Ireland.
Sad. Yeah.
But no, there was no
Alas,
special guest.
No special guest at all.
No.
She probably could have done that.
Yeah.
Also, her style looked amazing. I was looking
oh my
at the
God,
photos of what she wore.
So
she's just
cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Did you see the news on Goss.ie that apparently Lewis Capaldi might be playing EP? Do you think that's true?
Yeah, well, like, it's on the t-shirts. It's on his merch. So he played Marley Park on Tuesday night. He's playing again on Wednesday. And on his merch, it has August 28th, Electric Picnic on it.
So is that like an accidental reveal, basically?
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's on purpose.
Like
they printed
it
on t-shirts, like.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the concert, he apparently said, like, I'll be seeing you very soon.
Hint, hint. And everyone's like, it's on the t-shirts, mate. You've already fucking
we
told
know.
Us. Yeah,
we
there's
know.
Been a lot of, I don't know, a lot of negative feedback on the lineup for EP. So maybe they felt they needed another person. Oh, no, it's for next year.
No, it's this
year. It's
this year.
Sorry. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Because,
it's for like, what? Yeah, it's this
year's
one.
It's for this
so
year.
It'd be a
yeah.
new act added when they've already actually announced
they
the lineup.
They usually do that, though.
Do they?
With EP,
this close?
They usually leave one
to the very end
to reveal. Yeah,
it's actually in a couple of weeks.
And they do that with All Together now as well. They always leave one to kind
I really want to go to EP this year. Like, we literally get tickets every year and I never want to go. We went for Kylie, remember? Mm-hmm. That traumatic experience of going in the wrong entrance.
Oh my god,
I want physical tickets this time. I'm not using an app or a QR code ever again.
No,
but I really really want to see Somber, and now I obviously really want to see Lewis. I've never seen Lewis Capaldi. I think he would be incredible.
I've never seen him either, and I've heard he's very very good.
We should go. Yeah. Are you around that weekend, or are you at another wedding?
No, I'm not that weekend.
I'd love to go.
Yeah, same. We should definitely go.
Yeah, we should go this year.
But plan better this time and have physical tickets.
We basically had this QR code from one of the brands that we work with, but about five or six entrances we went to were like, we don't accept them. How did we convince someone to let us in the end?
Oh, it was
hell. I had to like ask a security guard just to basically step aside.
Like in the end, they actually couldn't scan our tickets. Yeah. So like we could have actually snuck in.
Yeah, we nearly had to sneak. Yeah. Now it was because we only went on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'd say if we'd come in the first day, the right people would have come in there.
It was so late by the time we got in. We were only there for like 2 hours.
I may ask three right now for the tickets or Smirnoff. So your hot take is basically Marley was overfilled and they shouldn't allow more than 40,000.
Yeah. Like, it's grand, but it makes it a bit uncomfortable. Like, especially when you're leaving. Like, it's literally like the Walking Dead coming out of there.
I know. And I get so anxious in crowds. Yeah. I just could not handle that.
My other kind of hot take is because I was at another gig last night and I was sitting, and I just love a sitting gig.
Oh, so do I.
I don't like standing anymore.
I was only talking to someone about this over the weekend. One of the girls, they were like going to like 7,000 gigs this summer. And she was like, do you like gigs? And I was like, yeah. And then she was like, would you be standing now? And I was like, oh
no,
God, no.
No.
And she was like, what? And I was like,
I can't.
No,
not anymore.
I need to sit.
Like, I think if it was someone I really loved and I wanted to be like close to the stage,
you can bob.
Even at
you
that,
though,
no. You
can bob in your seats.
Yeah.
But, like, I think back to, like, my 16-year-old self. I literally used to queue up for the mosh pits.
Yeah.
At Oxygen back in the day. I went to, like, Avril Lavigne, Nickelback. Like, I went
Rock
to all the
on.
Big gigs. And now I'm like, ew. Like,
no,
do not
I
have
can't.
Me stand.
But, like, I feel like when you're sitting, you can enjoy it so much more.
And also, like, when you're in the Aviva and stuff, the corporate boxes are such a dream. Because you can go in, have a champagne, come back out, sit down. I know it's a very privileged way to go to a concert. But, no.
You're like, I'm not going. Unless I get corporate.
What did I stand at recently? Sabrina Carpenter is probably the last gig that I went to that just was standing tickets.
Yeah.
And in fairness, like, it was actually nice being really close to her because of the way it was in the three arena.
Yeah,
so like I was standing
around
near her. Yeah. But no, like, and that's what my friend was asking me. She was like, are you into festivals? I was like,
It depends. Definitely when I was younger, I was always like, oh yeah, standing, like 100%. But now in my old age, I want a seat.
Would you glamp?
Yeah, but it depends.
You'll see I put glitter in front of that, not camp, glamp.
Some of the glamping is actually shite. You need to get a good glamping thing.
Also, my issue isn't even the sleeping part. It's that they're all so far away, and if it's rained at all during the week, it's just sludge and mud to even get to your little glamping
really
station.
It really depends on the weather.
And
like, I've only actually done one camping festival.
I've never done any. What was that?
All together now. It was a few years ago. But the glamping that we picked, because there's a few different companies that you can go with. The one we picked wasn't amazing. Like, the tent was grand, but the beds were literally like army.
I'd go in an
all
caravan now.
Oh yeah, I'd love to do that.
A static home.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd love to do that. It's really hard to get the camper van tickets though, because so many people want to do it.
Is it though? We'll figure it out. I'll see. I don't know.
We'll get a goss.
Imagine a goss pink camper van. Spend the whole year's budget on a camper van.
Yeah.
Speaking of camping though, my hot take is so random, but it's just about this show on Netflix that I love.
Oh.
I only watched it the other day. It's
a
called
show.
Kind of. It's called Outlast the Jungle. So it's actually a series. I know. It's actually a series just called Outlast, but I don't know. It just came up on my algorithm on Sunday, and I tried to do nothing this weekend because I've just had such a busy few weeks. And it's basically like Survivor. But all these people,
okay.
It's kind of like Survivor slash Hunger Games. Not like they're actually murdering each other, but as in they basically have to outlast each other.
Okay.
So the winner, you have to be on a team.
Like Surviving the Jungle, like.
Basically.
Okay.
But it's really,
such
really
a random
good.
Show
I know, it's not like me at all. Like, but I was obsessed with it. So I watched.
I'm like, catch up on Love Island, will you?
I started last night. And the one episode I hate every year that I do not like to watch is the fucking
heart rate
challenge. And I turned on, I was like, I'm finally going to watch an episode. And it was like, tonight. I was like, no. I can't watch it. I can't.
I know, it makes me feel
sick.
Yeah.
Basically, just watching people dry hump each other, like it's too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so the season that I watched, basically everyone just gets like dropped on an actual island, like in the middle of nowhere, and they have to like survive themselves. They have to like get their own water, boil their own water to drink it. Like there is no
get their own
facilities,
food and everything.
Everything. They're like eating iguanas. They're like searching for oysters. I know now how to like find an oyster.
Find a wild oyster.
Yeah, a wild oyster.
What do you call it? Chuck it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's actually so interesting. Anyway, so I mean, the way it's, I loved it too because it's a real like, it's kind of like all the reality shows where like it all boils down to like a psychological experiment because they all kind of, they're basically put into three different groups and you can't win. You win $1 million, but only if you remain in a team. You can't win it on your own. But a team could be just two people. Mm. But they're, each team are given different things. Like one team is given fire. So like for the whole experiment, it's like 35 days long. You'll have fire the whole time. And fire is obviously warmth, but it's the smoke keeps insects and stuff away. So like you don't really think about it at the time. And then also the water isn't drinkable. You have to boil it to drink it. Let's say one camp has fire, but then they don't have any shelter and they don't have any arrows to like fetch their food. And then another team, they only have the arrows, but then they've no fire and then they've no shelter. Right. So they're like soaked at nighttime. They can't cook their food. They can't. And they're like in a rainforest, so it's not dry enough for them to do the kind of spark of the wood. So there's literally no fire. And then the other team.
So it's like a battle of the elements. Who has the best?
Who can outlast in the kind of jungle? And then the other area, they have their kind of tents and stuff. So they're covered, but then they've no fire and they've no bows or whatever. They're literally like out there, like, you know, using bows to catch iguanas and stuff. It's
what
wild.
What island is it?
I can't remember. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. That was near the Philippines. God. Near the Philippines.
Right.
But it's just so interesting to watch it because like they're all so fit. And then at the beginning, people have to be put onto teams. And it's like, why should I have you on the team? And like you have to have a good background. You can't be like, oh, I work at a desk 9 to 5. They're like, I like wrestle alligators in Florida. Like some of the stories are wild.
Oh my God.
But then like you realize when people get on the teams, they were kind of lying about what they can do and then they can't do much. It's so interesting.
That's really good.
It's so good. I watched it all in one day.
And is there many seasons or is it just
there's
one?
Just two. So the last one, I started watching it last night, is in Alaska, so it's like freezing cold. Obviously the Philippines is like totally different, but it's just so interesting. And like you have to flare out if you want to leave, so you have to use your flare gun to be like, come and get me. And all these people that you think would never like leave, but it gets too much. Like people miss their families. People are going like 4 or 5 days without any food. Like it's a proper, it's way more intense than I'm a Celebrity. Yeah. Way more intense.
You wouldn't see that in Ireland's Fittest Family now.
No. And then you just, and then basically if someone kicks you off your team, you have 24 hours to either be accepted by another team or you get flared out. You have to leave. Gosh. Yeah. So it's like Love Island on steroids. But that's my hot take, is that I loved it. But like I love watching those shows, but also makes me so sad because I'm like, I would be dead in 24 hours without my insulin.
Well, you know how to chuck an oyster.
Without my insulin though. It's the diabetes. If I didn't have the diabetes, I actually think I would do really well on a show like that, or like in a natural disaster. But because of the diabetes, if I didn't have my like medication, I'd just be dead, yeah.
Oh,
in the space of probably 2 days, I'd say. Maybe three. And I'd be really weak and shy. So I was like, no. But if I didn't have it, I think I'd be really good in it. Because like people kind of become natural leaders in it. And they're like there's one challenge where like you need a boat for it. And only one of the teams have like secured an actual kayak. And the rest of them are just making boats out of like wood and bamboo.
Oh God,
people are making their own bow and arrows. Like it is mad. When you watch it, you're like, Jesus, like it is actually crazy. People are like frying insects because they're so hungry.
Oh my God.
So there you go. Watch Outlast. That's my hot take of the week. Right, let's get into our main topics today then. A sad but also a happy one because there's a good kind of ending to it.
Yeah.
But Jeremy Clarkson's cancer diagnosis. I feel like this is so Jeremy that he didn't even like, just the way he announced it and the way he did it, he obviously kept it so private up to a point where he was ready to say something about it.
Yeah.
But tell me what's been going on with that.
Yeah, so he actually was diagnosed last May, so like literally a whole year ago. But he chose to wait to reveal it on season 5 of Clarkson's Farm. So good. I actually love, speaking of random shows to watch, it's actually a brilliant show.
I was going to say that I know a few people that are obsessed with
so
this show.
Good.
And like
a
lot of people really don't like Jeremy Clarkson for multiple reasons. But anyone I know that watches this show is like, no, Jeremy is like amazing. It's such a good show.
It's shown such a different side to him, I feel. And it's like, I don't know. It's just such a...
Do you want to start a farm now?
Yeah. You and Al. It's a good... Because, like, I grew up on a farm. So, yeah. Like, I love all that kind of stuff. And it's actually... I saw, like, some woman doing, like, a radio interview. And apparently he's, like... His show or something has, like, increased the popularity of, like, farming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's mad. But anyway, he revealed it on the show. And he said that he had an aggressive form of prostate cancer last year. Thankfully, he is now in remission. He has said that he's fully in remission now, but he has urged men to get checked for prostate cancer because his own diagnosis came from him getting checked last May, yeah. Just in like a routine medical. So it was actually a blood test that showed an unusually high prostate-specific antigen levels, which I think is really interesting because I think a lot of men think that like in order to identify prostate cancer, you should have to get a physical.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's uncomfortable and that kind of thing. But Jeremy was like, no, like these things can be identified through a simple blood test now.
Yeah.
You should just go get checked.
Nothing can be more uncomfortable than a smear, though.
Let's be.
I'd rather someone check my
Speaking
prostate.
Speaking of, I'm actually going to get a smear tomorrow.
Are you?
Yes,
good.
I am. But yeah, I think we kind of just wanted to talk about getting checked in general because we had a visit yesterday from Breast Cancer Ireland. A lovely lady who did a really good talk with us, showed us how to properly check our breasts. And there were so many interesting things she brought up. Like one of the stats that actually shocked me was
one in seven
women are diagnosed with breast cancer. And there was actually seven of us in the room,
I know, that really
which was really freaky.
I know,
literally,
I know.
One of us will probably get breast cancer.
Touch wood.
It's very scary though. And another shocking stat was that every 23 seconds a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer in the world.
It's so crazy.
Like, it's so crazy. And I think an important thing that she brought up is that you never think it will be you. Mm. And it could be.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, honestly the way with a lot of cancers. I think a lot of people are just like, oh no, that's terrible. Like, they hear about it, but then they're not that proactive with themselves. Yeah. And obviously, you know, only so recently Liz, obviously, you know, passed away, Kieran O'Malley's wife. And it's shocking when you see a young woman passing away from cancer. Yeah. And the Breast Cancer Ireland rep, she was talking about a girl who died only a couple of months ago who was diagnosed with breast cancer at 23 or 21. Sorry,
21.
She died at 23.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is really scary. And also so interesting that there's 8 signs and symptoms. Like, I think people think it's just that if you have a lump, get it checked. But we realized yesterday there's like 7 other symptoms that have nothing to do with the lump, which is like itchiness, just basically any change
in texture
all. But like any change, she basically was like, if anything
and
changes, go
one
get
thing she
at.
Brought up as well that I never thought to check before is checking your breast bone.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you have to properly check
and your
there.
Lymph nodes, and also that tenderness can be a sign of it too, which like I'm sure people have felt. Maybe like I wouldn't even think that if I like leaned in on my lymph nodes and felt it was tender, I'd be like, oh, what's that? I wouldn't be like, should I get that checked? I'd just be like, oh, weird, I must have hurt myself.
But like, you know, that girl that passed away back in January that she talked about, she told us that before she was diagnosed, she had found a lump. She had a breast cancer to her family. 2 of her aunties had breast cancer.
Yeah. One had died from it, I think.
Yeah. And she had found the lump and she went to get it checked and she was told that she was too young.
Yeah, the breast cancer.
They
basically turned her away.
They basically turned her away and then she found another lump then.
Yeah.
Went back and they told her again, look, you're too young. Like, you couldn't have breast cancer. And her mum was basically like, she needs to get checked.
Yeah.
And you know, it took her mum to be really like firm.
And then they diagnosed her with stage 4.
What happened was they booked her in to go and get a scan, she had to wait 8 months.
Mm.
And like anyone who's experienced cancer or knows someone that has had cancer, one day matters.
I know, it spreads
waiting
so
8 months
quickly.
Like, that cost her life.
I know.
Like, if they had caught it like any earlier, you
by
know,
the time she went
she
in, there was cancer
okay.
like everywhere in her lungs and her blood.
It's
her
just,
bones.
It would really. Oh, like, I actually felt so angry when I was hearing about it yesterday because it's just such a joke.
Well, female health in general, I mean, you've talked about this before, like a lot of GPs and even hospitals, I would say, just don't take it that seriously. And sometimes you have to really fight to like be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And you and I have both had experiences with that. But like, even after I froze my eggs the first time, do you remember I was in like random pain? I had all these weird symptoms and everyone kept saying to me, like, it's fine, it's nothing. And then I wanted to go to a gynecologist and I had to wait like 9-10 months before I went in. Now, thankfully in the end everything was okay, but I did actually have a cyst. So like I was right, like there was something not right, and it was one of those cysts that basically had to burst on its own, which was great fun. But the fact that like I wouldn't have even known it was a cyst unless I'd fought for that appointment. Like, and even trying to get that appointment was like, you're probably fine. I was like, well, I don't feel fine. And I remember even with the gynecologist afterwards, because a lot of things were going on in my body that time. And I remember he was like, you know, it's just a part of the body we don't really understand. So I can't really, he was like, thanks, just the way it is. And he was like, maybe go on the pill, see what happens. Like, and this is like a qualified gynecologist. He was like, yeah, you know, we just don't know sometimes.
It makes no sense that there's such a lack of like research and understanding with women's bodies when we literally are responsible for procreating. For planet Earth,
like literally bringing people into the world. It's just, it's so crazy.
One of the things that Jeremy has actually said, like encouraging people to go and get checked, he was like, even if you don't have symptoms, just lie.
Just so lie so check.
You can get the appointment. Like if you have, and the lady from Breast Cancer Ireland said it yesterday to us as well, if you have any doubt in your mind, just go and get
just checked. Just go, yeah. And making sure you have a good GP who like really listens to you. Yeah. Like I know my GP is really good, and like I actually used to go to him when I was like a baby. Like I was there for years. Yeah. He's actually retiring now, but I'm still in the same practice, so they have all the notes. I know if I went in there tomorrow and I was like, I need an urgent referral, they'd be like, grant, because they know me and they know that like I would only say it if I actually was genuinely really, really worried about stuff.
My GP is really good as well. They're very like focused on female health as well, and like, you know, reproductive things and all that,
and then health insurance as well can cover mammograms and stuff if you look into it. But yeah, I think the big takeaway yesterday was that like if you've any doubt at all, that is a symptom basically. Like that's enough for you to go. And thing comes to worst, they say there's nothing wrong with you. And I thought it was really interesting, she kept saying that like some people feel like they're almost wasting people's time or they're an inconvenience. I'm always saying this to my sisters and stuff. They're ever like, oh, I don't know if I'll go into the doctor, or like, oh, I don't really want to go to A&E, because I'm like, it's their job to have patients there. You're not inconvenience anybody. It's literally your job. So like whenever the kids are unwell or whatever, I'm just bring them in. Like just bring them in. That's literally what they are trained to do, is to look at people and to check them, you know?
And it was an important point yesterday as well, is just knowing what your breasts look like in general. Mm-hmm. Like, and we were talking about, you actually brought it up, that like have a good look at them when you're tanning.
Because isn't that
like,
such
that's
a good
when
tip?
You're in the mirror like looking anyway.
I know. It was me and Olivia, and we were up in Galway for the Garda Women's Leadership Conference. I basically talked to, that's where we met the Breast Cancer Ireland team. Me and Olivia were talking about how we do always check all the time, and I was like, yeah, I always do when I tan so often. And for any girls listening, if you feel like you just don't have the time to do a check, because it does take a few minutes. I know people like to do it in the shower as well, it's a handy one, but you're not looking at yourself in the shower. You know what I mean? Like when you are tanning, you're
in the mirror,
in front of a mirror. You should be able to see. I love it. She was saying that like everyone has a boob that's slightly bigger. I was like, I don't think I do.
I actually do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Fun fact for you all.
I don't think I do. But no, it was really interesting. And even when we booked her to come in, I was like, oh, we probably won't learn too much, but we got to have her in. But I actually did learn like quite a lot. And if you go onto their website, you can download their app, and they send you reminders to check yourself. They show you how to do it in a video on the app as well. It's really, really handy.
But yeah, most importantly, know what your boobs look like, because then you can see any changes. Because she said most of the time you won't find a lump.
Yeah.
It can be like a rash. It can be the change in texture. So many different things.
So many
eight different things aside from a lump.
And also as well, the fact that men also suffer from breast cancer as well. And that it's normally up near, closer to the arms, near the lymph nodes is normally where they would start to notice tenderness or notice the difference.
Yeah.
So it's important to say to the women in your life to get to check, and the men in your life. I mean, like, it is pretty amazing that like we can check ourselves in that way, because you can't check yourself for a lot of cancers.
Yeah.
But like that is one where you could technically figure it out yourself.
But it is something like, and even the lady from Breast Cancer Ireland said as well, she was like, it is a bit ridiculous, like, you know, all women should have their breasts checked properly,
and it should be a free service, like constantly,
and like,
all the
because
time.
There is some talks about mammograms not being 100% accurate as well. Like the most accurate test that you can have is an ultrasound. But it's very difficult to get those appointments.
I'm actually going for, one of those full body check things.
Oh my God, I want to do
that. Yeah, yeah. It's actually around the corner from us. I'll tell you about it more after. But yeah, I'm going for that. But I'm kind of like scared. But it's like one of those ones where it does absolutely everything.
I know someone whose father did it, and he was literally like on the verge of a heart attack.
Brilliant,
like,
can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, see, I'm lucky.
But like, it saved his life.
I'm lucky in that, obviously, because I'm diabetic, like, I have a private consultant. So like, I'm in with him minimum every 6 months, but at the moment every year. And I do the craziest amount of blood tests when I go to see him. There's literally like 9 different parts of my body that's checked. So like all my blood levels, my liver, my kidneys, everything. And then, you know, I've randomly had MRIs on my brain like for the last 3 years. So I've pretty much checked most things. And I had smears, one smear I paid for because they were like, oh, you're technically not due it. And I was like, no, I want it. And then, and I had so much pushback that time from that nurse. I remember her being like, just wait another year. And I was like, just fucking give it to me, you freak. I'm paying you, like, you know. And then I obviously went to the gynecologist as well. And I still don't think that's enough. Like, I want to be checked every single year. I just think you just hear stories as well where like things can change over the space of 12 months.
Yeah.
And I had to get my cells frozen off. Yeah. You know, what's that called again? That was a horrible experience.
Oh, I can't remember.
It's like Let's or something or else. Anyway, I hated that. And then I had to go back. This is for smears. I had to go for a biopsy. And it was meant to be every 12 months. This actually happened at the very start of COVID. And then one of my test results came back kind of better than normal. So they were like, oh, we'll just leave for another 3 years. And I was like, no, I'm going to go. And they were like, oh, you have to pay for it. I was like, fine, just take my money.
Yeah, like
just
my last one, I had to go into Tala Hospital for like the further check thing.
Yeah.
But then once I went in, they were like, you're actually fine. Like, we don't
most
need
people
to do
are,
a biopsy.
And some people's cells do kind of distinguish themselves, like, as in they go away.
Yeah.
But mine didn't, so I had to get them burnt off. But I just remember that whole process being really annoying. And then they're like, oh, sure, like, you're fine for another while. And I was like, no. I'm going to check myself every
year. Anyone who's worried about getting the actual smear, or maybe they haven't done it yet, it's so grand. Like, it takes 2 seconds. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
I hate them now, to be fair. But it's still worth it. It is
like,
quick.
In the grand
it's
scheme
quick.
Of things, it's over in 2 seconds. These, like, nurses do it all the time. Yeah. Like, don't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's grand.
Yeah, no, you're better off doing it. What is it? Every 3 years, isn't it supposed to be?
I think
after 21,
yes, which 25. I think is long.
Or maybe,
like,
it's after 25.
It should
I remember
be.
There was a big campaign about Jade Goody because she died of cervical cancer when she was like 23. She was quite young.
Was she only 23?
Yeah.
God,
she was really young. Or else she got diagnosed at 23. But 23 is definitely the
I age. Still think 3 years is way too long of a gap.
I also just think in general, like, if you think something is wrong with you, just go, just force yourself into the doctor. Like, one of the MRIs that I got was because I started getting migraines, remember? And another one was because I got tinnitus, or tinnitus, some people call it. So they wouldn't be like 100% reasons why you should get a brain scan. But at the time I was like, I want it. So one of them I paid for it privately, and then the other was in a hospital. But I say this to everyone all the time. I'm like, what is the worst thing? You go in and they're like, you're fine. Grant, then you know you're fine. Do you know what I mean? Rather than waiting. And I think men in particular are so bad at being like, oh, I've had this cough for 2 years, it's grand. And it's like, maybe you shouldn't have that cough. Because obviously one of the stories she told us yesterday was about a colleague of hers. She's the one we met in Galway. She had a rash on her collarbone for over a year. And was just like, oh, it's a heat rash. And then her GP was like, that doesn't look right. And then she had breast cancer.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're listening, any doubts, we're not trying to scare people, obviously, but like, if there's anything that's changing in your body, go to your GP, get checked. There are waiting lists. It's not like you're going to be in the breast clinic tomorrow. It takes time. Yeah. So, like, go and get it checked. Do the check yourself as well.
Fight for yourself as well. Like, because a lot of cases like this, you go in and maybe your doctor might be like, ah, no, you're grand. Like, you have to speak up and be like, no, like, I want to get this checked.
Yeah.
You have to be a bit of an asshole, really.
But also, you know, all the stories, the really scary stories of, and it's mainly been girls and young girls that have, like, died in the queue for A&E of, like, sepsis and stuff like that. And it's literally, like, even in those circumstances, you have to literally shake someone.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I had my DKA, which is diabetic ketosis, something like that. But basically, like, that's how diabetics die. I literally nearly died that time. Were you in Goss at that point, at the very first time? I don't think you were.
No, I don't think so.
But I had been out the night before. And the next day, like, I sounded really drunk and my dad rang me and he was like, how are you? And I was just like slurring and he was like, she sounds so fucking weird. Like, and I had been getting sick, like, but I thought from alcohol. And then he just got my aunt to come in and check in on me. So she came and she gave me Motilium and I still couldn't stop getting sick. And she was like, there's definitely something not right here. I went into A&E and I was like vomiting in the A&E, like slouching over the seats. Like I was just in bits, just learning my words. So when we checked in, they just thought that I was like drunk. Or had been drunk. So they totally like didn't even put me on like top of the list. And then my aunt was the one that went up to the desk and she was like, you need to see her now. Like, you need to take her in. I don't even know if I had told them I was diabetic or whatever. I can't even remember how that all happened. But eventually they were like, right, we'll bring her in. And then within like 5 minutes, I was actually triaged. I had like heart monitors all over me. It had gone like so far that like the blood in my body was like burning, starting to burn into my organs and everything. Yeah. Like, that's why I was so sick. But like, if they had just, I don't know what would have happened if they had just been like, sure, we'll see her in a few hours.
Like, DKAs, or if anyone doesn't know, like that's how diabetics can
die. So how we used to die back in the day before insulin came in. But again, I'm pretty sure I must have told them I was diabetic, but they still, because I was young, were just like, oh, she's slurring her words. Like, they obviously just had this preconceived idea. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until she fought for me. So since then, I go to the same hospital all the time. If I ever go into A&E there, they always see me really quickly because they're just like, shit, she like nearly died that time. So fight for yourself.
I had a terrible experience last year, but that's probably a podcast for another day.
Oh my God. Yeah, but it was in the female health vortex. I still think you should send a complaint to the hospital. But yeah, any doubts, go. Always good to have someone with you fighting for you in A&E if you're happening. But we'll move over to a happier topic, possibly happier topic. There's rumors that there is going to be a replacement on the Late Late Show in general because Patrick Keelty's contract is up. I feel like the day he got that gig, I said to you, he's not going to stay past his contract. I still stand by that. I don't think he's coming back. But the rumors right now are very interesting because people are saying that the two Johnnies could be.
The two Johnnies, yeah, apparently there's talk about them being kind of what the Late Late Show needs in terms of a shakeup. Mm. Now, it was funny because like when we posted the article, a lot of people were saying like, yeah, I'd love that.
People love the two. Yeah. I think they're Marmite in a way that some people don't like them, but if they like them, they love them.
Sure, like, and they kids sell out love like them. Gigs.
My nephews are obsessed with the two Johnnies. Yeah, so I think for like the toy show. So what are the rumors? What are the reports at the moment?
It's basically just like that they're kind of considering their options because Patrick, now he is still in negotiations with them. He's not gone. Like, there's still
fairly rapidly going through the summer now, though. It's strange that they wouldn't have reached.
And like the Late Late Show comes back in September. Also, RTE do their autumn launch in August usually. So they'd want to be finding someone pretty ASAP or getting Patrick back or whatever. But then there was also ideas floated that they could, for a year, have like multiple people guest host pick someone at the end.
Do you remember, maybe you're too young for this now, but when Exposé had guest presenters for like a year or two?
Yeah.
No, I was on during that shuffle, so it was great. But it was really random. Mm-hmm. And I think people need a tangible person that they're like, they're the host of the Late Late Show.
Yeah.
Some of the other names that have been mentioned, Kieran Cuddihy. I love Kieran. He's my fave. I've worked a lot with him over the years on his radio shows. I actually do think Kieran would be really, really good. He's been so good on Liveline. He's really good with political stuff as well. Like, do you remember he was doing the Tonight Show before he left News Talk, and he was doing all the pre-campaign stuff, the election stuff. I thought he was so good at that. But he's also like lighthearted and fun and good crack. So I think he'd be really, really good. Oliver Callan, I'm obviously on his show. I'm on all the shows. I'm just like, I'm on his shows.
Oliver Callan would be very good.
So funny as well. But also, again, really deeply understands a lot of topics. And then Mairean O'Connell. She'd be a good one, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she was actually, I think she was kind of poking fun at the rumours a few days ago because she was in RTE to do a radio interview and she posted like a photo of the RTE sign and was like, eye emoji.
Oh my God. The thing too is like, a lot of people would say this, like getting that job is like becoming the Taoiseach. As in like you will be under such extreme scrutiny every single week. And then outside of what you're doing, what's happening, like obviously with Patrick, like the marriage falling apart was heavily documented. Everyone's going to know exactly how much you earn, how much you charge on a taxi, on a plane, what your clothing budget was for the year. It's a huge amount to take on.
And that's why I don't know if the two Johnnies would be interested in it, to be honest, because they're very successful in their own stuff.
Depends on the money, though.
Depends on the money, but also, like, I think they got burned when they were in 2FM that 2FM. Time. Remember, they were taken off air.
The only thing is, Orchie and 2FM are fairly separate. Like, it is completely different people that run them. Mm. Like, very, very different. So, like, when you leave 2FM, like, a lot of people still stay in Orchie. Like, they are different heads. The other thing is, I would say, being near their age too, I think I'm close to their age or they're close to my age, like of that generation, it's probably the biggest honor to host. Yeah.
No, I definitely late think show. They probably consider
two people hosting. I don't know how that would work though.
Yeah, but like I think
it's like Pod and Raj.
There is an argument as well that the Late Late Show doesn't work anymore.
No, well, I think the format doesn't work at the moment, where they're trying to make it the Graham Norton show. The best Late Late Shows have been the intimate conversations, the one-on-ones, you know, like, you know, Ryan Tuberty is definitely one of my favorite Late Late Show hosts, if not my favorite. And like some of those best conversations where you could tell he had done so much research and it was just one-on-one people telling stories, kind of similar to the Tommy Tiernan show. Like people love Tommy's show because it's very intimate. I think the Late Late Show has lost that. And it's like, get four people on a couch. And it's just like, you're not Graham Norton.
But like, I think the difference with Ryan was Ryan actually had like a journalistic background. Yeah, as in like he was actually like a broadcast journalist.
Yeah, he also lived in Ireland. I do think it's a huge problem for Patrick. I do really like Patrick and I think the toy show has been probably better than it's been in a while. He's brilliant at the toy show, but like it's very clear that he does not live here when he's doing his interviews. Whereas with Ryan, he'd be like, oh, I saw you in the shop like on Wednesday and I had Sinead O'Connor over for tea. And you know, every time a big, great, legendary Irish person has died in the last couple of years, Ryan has put up something being like, I literally saw them last week or they were in my house. Like there was such an ingrained thing in Ryan where he was like a part of the culture. Imagine if he came back.
I know.
That would be my top choice.
Yeah, same.
Bring Tubbs back.
You know who's such a no-brainer for the Late Late Show as well is Marty Whelan. Yeah. He would be so perfect.
I love Marty.
Like, did you see that video of him with that little girl at Bloom singing? Like, oh, like he'd be so good.
He'd
at
actually
toy
be
show.
So good too.
He's like funny, like he's witty. Yeah. But also I think he's like sincere enough to do those emotional interviews and stuff like that. I think he'd be so good.
I really like Marty Marcy too. Another show that I've been on. He's actually brilliant. Miriam McCallaghan and Claire Byrne were the main contenders before Patrick took it over. I don't know if you remember that, but the rumors were that Claire was offered the show, so Miriam stepped back because of that, because she was like, it's Claire's time. And then kind of last minute Claire said no. So Miriam, I do think, is probably still in the vortex, but I don't know if she moved on from the idea now, because that was 3 years ago. But like there's still cause for Miriam to literally run for the president of Ireland. So like she's really, really, really liked. We've never had a female host of the Late Late Show ever.
Imagine. I think I'd rather see Miriam be the president rather than the Late Late.
But the Late Late could be a little of a 10-year before she goes on to be the president.
True.
But I think my genuine top choice would be if Ryan came back. It would be such a move. Imagine the drama. Imagine the drama.
Like, it would be
of like being at the August launch, being like, our new host, welcome back. Oh, I'd actually faint.
It would be so good.
Like, he's already been through so much. What else
so
can he go through?
Love for Ryan still. Like, I know people were very angry over the payment scandal.
But a lot of people thought he was used as a scapegoat.
Yeah, and he was. He was. Sure, look, RT, you're still having all those issues
shambles.
Now, and it's nothing to do with Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a shambles, the payment issues that are going on. Do you have a personal favourite then?
I'd love if Ryan came back.
Ryan too.
And then my second fave would be Marty Whelan.
Marty Whelan.
Yeah.
We should drop Ryan an all message, DM him.
Yeah.
Be like, Ryan, look.
Get back on the Late Late, will you?
And then finally, before we go today, obviously massive headlines and loads of news about Molly May and Tommy Fury's new baby. I have to say I didn't like how the name was revealed because I was watching the fight while in Liverpool for a hen. And I just thought Midas was a sponsor. Because all his shorts and tops had sponsor names on it, including Oosh.
I knew it because it had been rumoured.
I knew it had been rumoured too, but even though I'd seen the name, I still thought Midas was a sponsor because of the way it was placed on him and the way he turned around. I was like, what Midas?
What is Midas?
I just thought it was a bit weird. I know he was relying on the fact that people had already heard about it, but obviously people were like, oh, this is based on Midas, the Greek kind of...
Greek king.
And like, you know, that having that Midas touch where like everything you turn turns to gold. Apparently that's not why he's called Midas.
So yeah, in Greek mythology, there was this Greek king called Midas who basically wished for everything he touched to turn to gold. But he was kind of considered a fool because he basically killed his whole family because he turned them all into gold.
Yeah.
So people were kind of saying that at the time, like, why did you call your child Midas? Because your man was a fool.
Like, it's not a good ending, like.
No. But Molly has since come out and said that's actually not inspired by Midas from Greek mythology.
Does that surprise you that it's not from Greek mythology?
Well, I thought it was a bit weird because inside Tommy's jacket from the fight where he revealed the name, it said, like, everything he touches turned to gold. So I was like, it must be inspired. Oh,
for the love of God.
Anyway, it's actually from... So Molly said that they've had the name for years, and she actually got it from watching this movie called Real Steel. Mm-hmm. It's a sci-fi film starring Hugh Jackman from 2011.
No, I can't.
And it's basically like Transformers, where it's all robots boxing, and there was one of them called Midas, and that's where she got the name.
That sounds more like a Molly May and Tommy Fury story than they sat down and read some Greek mythology. Yeah, you know, they watched a Transformers.
Yeah,
robot
I know, because I was like, wow, Greek mythology,
so
like,
deep.
Love it.
And they're like, who?
It's actually from Real Steel.
Yeah, it's from Hugh Jackman.
What do you think
movie.
Of the name Midas in general?
I don't like it.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Midas Fury, though, obviously does sound like a boxer's name.
It's cool. Yeah.
But and obviously Molly May, like the MMM maybe, but then Bambi is a B, so like it doesn't make sense to me.
I really
Bambi
thought
is
it
also
was gonna be
stupid
like
stupid name,
Bo
I'm sorry.
Or something.
To
or
go with the B.
Yeah.
Bo Fury. Midas Fury does sound like a strong name, but it sounds so random. I don't like it that much.
And there's definitely a lot of people that will pronounce it wrong and say Midas.
Or Mida in like foreign countries where the S is silent. Yeah. I don't know it.
Mida.
But it is, I still am dead at her turning up to the fight looking stunning in a white dress.
I know.
Like, that was such a comeback. But I like, know. And I love that she kind of went with the slicked back hair. Like, as in, like, she didn't actually, she could have done it differently where she wore black, cut her hair down, had loads of extensions, like tried
yeah,
to kind of like cover
real
up.
Real glam.
Yeah. I thought, no, it looked really well. But no, I don't care for the name at all. Mm. My other hot take of the week.
Like, what do you think of, like, different names in general?
Mm.
Like, some celebrity baby names are wild.
Remember
like
Apple Martin?
Yeah. Like,
although now I think it's kind of a cool name. When I was younger, I was like, it's a bit weird. But now I'm like, Apple Martin is a real, like, distinct name.
I think it's cool to have a different name.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like what, though? Give me a fave name. A fave celeb name. Sure. It's not Bambi, you know?
I don't know.
Brooklyn? Isn't the kind of rumor there, or did they say that it's because he was
conceived in
Brooklyn?
Maybe.
And then, what's their other child's name? Romeo. That was Rome.
Yeah.
Don't know, Harper.
Cruise?
On a cruise. Harper on a Harper Bazaar magazine, maybe. Is there any, like, celeb names that I really like? I do like original names in that, like, I definitely... It would kind of annoy me if my kids were in a school with, like, seven other of the same name.
Like, my name is obviously a bit different. I've always liked that I've had a different
Kendra's
name.
Yeah, Kendra's a lovely name.
Like, there isn't many
The
around.
Only other name, Kendra, I'd heard before you was, like, that girl of the Playboy Mansion.
Remember? Kendra Wilkinson. Go, Kendra.
Go, Kendra. But no, I do like distinct names. I do really like Irish names as well.
Yeah, they're nice.
I do really like them. They are so unique in the world. Like, when you travel, having, like, a real Irish name is nice. Obviously, me and my sisters all have real...
You have a very strong name.
We all kind of have, like, what would you call it? Kind of period names. Like, from the periods of, like... You know what I'm talking about? Like, Jane Austen.
Yeah.
What would you call that?
It's, like, what they call, like, Bridgerton.
Yeah. Like classical,
period.
Yeah, classical period names.
Yeah.
So like Alexandra,
Regency names.
Alexandra, yeah. Samantha, and Georgina.
Yeah.
So my mom was like a massive, massive, massive Jane Austen fan, and like Sense and Sensibility. Like pretty much every period drama, my mom has read every single book about it and still rereads it every year. So our names kind of came from that genre. They're not specific characters in those books, but there would be people in the books called like Georgina or. Georgina is another one, and Alexandra and Samantha. I don't actually know any Samanthas. Do you?
Do I know any Samanthas? Not really, no.
But then we're all called nicknames like Manthi, Jeannie, and Ali.
Yeah.
And Manthi became because I couldn't say the name Samantha.
So funny the amount of people that call you Alex. And you're like, it's not.
I think Alex is such a bitch name. Alex, isn't it? Nothing.
No.
No, I hate it. Or Allison, I guess, sometimes too.
Yeah.
When I say
a lot of people
Ali.
Call me Kendall.
Kendall, yeah, do they?
Yes.
Who has called you
People
Kendall?
Have called me Kendall to what? My face before, and I'm like, go on.
I just never say knew it. Like, that.
Yeah. Someone has definitely said it to my face before, and I've just been like, oh.
Well, lately you've just been called Ali, and I've been called Kendra when we're at events. Like, excuse
People
me?
Don't really do it anymore because your hair is different.
Yeah, but only recently enough. Yeah. Wasn't that at the IFTAs? You were called Ali, weren't you?
Someone actually said it to me at our birthday.
Oh, for someone, God's
yeah,
sake.
Yeah, I was like,
my
what?
Hair is blonde, lads. Look it up.
No, someone actually said it to me. Oh, yeah, I know who it is. I want
But
to
do you
name.
Do you have baby names picked? I don't have to say what they are, but like, would you have names?
I have a few written in my notes, actually.
And are
yeah.
they like unique or just ones you've like held
they
on to?
They are pretty unique.
Is it Midas?
No. Well, I suppose they're actually not that unique. Like, one of the girl names I love is Heidi.
I do love that
I
name.
Love that,
that
name.
That is unique for Ireland, though.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of... Is that kind of... Would that be like a Dutch name, Heidi?
I think it'd be more German, maybe.
German. I definitely can imagine a Heidi with like
but
white,
I really,
blonde hair.
I really like that name. But then like another boy name I like is like Danny. That's like...
Yeah,
normal.
I'm so funny. Like my girl names are like very precious. But then the boys' names are like James.
John.
John. James is a name that I actually really
Yeah, I love that name.
Love.
Yeah, that's
really,
cute.
Really,
yeah.
love. And one of my exes, I remember he was like, oh, we can't name our child James because like four of my cousins like named it. And I was like, well, we can't be together then because I want to call him James.
But I remember I had this name written down. I said it to Al and he was like, fuck off. We're not calling our child that. Sebastian.
I
actually
name.
Love
Jeannie
that
Jeannie actually
name.
Had that name down for her
love
kids.
It. And then you call him Seb.
Yeah.
For sure. Sebastian. And he was like, no, good luck.
Yeah, but I think a lot of husbands are like that. But, you know, when you're shoving the baby head downstairs.
Yeah, like, I could call the baby
In the moment,
I
you could be like, they're called Sebastian. No, I love Sebastian. It's also
yeah,
the name of
cute.
The crab in Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Let me call the baby Sebastian.
I feel like maybe a dad could get one name and the mom could get
yes.
the other name.
Yeah.
Or if you do it on your own, you have full control. So I can and call my kids anything I want to have
middle
alone.
Names as well. Well, like, would you name your kids like after a parent or
yeah,
yeah?
Like, my full name is Alexandra Margaret Maria Fitzpatrick Ryan. It's kind of long.
Oh my god!
So Margaret Rose
Maria Fitzpatrick.
It's actually technically Alexandra Margaret Rose Maria Fitzpatrick Ryan.
Where did the Fitzpatrick come from?
My mum's maiden name. She
oh,
kept it in our names legally.
Cute.
We all are Fitzpatrick Ryan.
That.
Yeah. So our actual name is Ryan, but it's a, like a name she inserted into the birth cert.
Okay.
So Alexandra is obviously my name. Margaret Rose was my nana's name and everyone called her Peggy Rose. And that is why Ali Rose is the name of my
oh,
Instagram.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then Maria was... There you go now. And then Maria was my confirmation name because you know the way
Maria
yeah Maria I had to like to find Sancta Maria. I was like to find a saint and then Fitzpatrick's my mum's maiden name and then Ryan's obviously my dad's
oh
name.
Oh my god, mine
so it's
is
pretty long.
Kendra Shirley Katharina
Bethany. Katharina,
yeah,
was that your...
It's my Dutch great grandmother.
Oh my
and
god,
and she was actually like part Indian.
That's so
yeah,
random.
So I'm like part... Oh or no, God. Sorry, not Indian, Indonesian.
Indonesian?
Yeah.
That would make a little bit more sense.
There we go.
Than
yeah, Indonesian.
Well, sorry,
yeah.
The fact that like part of my ancestry lands back to Trinidad.
I know.
You would not think that
yeah.
at all. I am not as dark as my mom and my little sister, but they're so tanned. It's so upsetting.
You do tan well, though, and so do I.
We do tan. It's the Indonesian in you. Yeah. And, oh, sorry, and the Trinidadian in me. Maybe we should look for traditional
That's
Indonesian and Trinidadian
base.
Names
yeah.
for our kids.
Oh my god, no, I'm just speaking of that, of tanning, because I'm going away next week.
Mm.
There's like a European heat wave.
I know,
and it's going to
like
be like 40 degrees when I'm away.
Where are you going?
Kill me. I'm going to Spain. And then I'm
okay.
going to Mallorca after that. So I'm going to Spain for a wedding for the weekend and
yeah.
then going to Mallorca, but it's literally...
Well, Mallorca would be good because it's fairly windy there. You're on the edge of the sea. But where
God.
Are you? Inland Spain for
yes.
the wedding? Oh,
it's literally...
My
and like
God.
Normal times, it's very hot there.
Oh, my
there.
God, no.
Yeah, I'm going
The poor die. Bride in her dress.
Now, the wedding isn't until
Bring
like
your electric fan
at
with you.
I will.
Oh, it's at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
That must be because it's so
because
hot there
so
anyway.
Hot. Yeah.
Oh, my
I know.
God. She's going to be sweating in her
dress.
And we're
staying in like kind of a rural villa.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like,
Kendra, you are
going to
get
no
eaten
way.
By mosquitoes. You're gonna need to bring your
I'm
mosquito
so scared.
Spray. Well,
I'm
bring
so scared.
Your little electric fans and the
I
ones
will.
That can plug into your phone. They're
but
really
like,
good.
Because we bought this like stand up fan in Lidl, best €20 I ever spent.
Middle aisle.
Only a few weeks ago, and like thank God because it's been so helpful while it's been so hot. And I'm like, can I fit that in my case? Like.
You probably could if you took it apart.
Maybe, yeah.
Imagine you got there and there was no fun.
I'm scared.
No, you're going to have scared. To. Yeah. Yeah, no, my sister just came back from France and we were like, are you okay? Because like, yeah. It's so insane over there. It was like 40 degrees.
I'm hoping it'll die down a bit because I think it's to be the worst like next week, but we're kind of going at the tail end of the week. So,
Going next weekend to the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, best of luck. Are you missing from the podcast then next week?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't even think about that. I'll
be here next week.
It's the week after. We must try arrange maybe a guest or something, or do doubles next week.
Episode.
Yeah. Get Luke on the podcast back from his 98 FM days. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for this week. We will chat to you next week.
Bye.